Everybody, we continue our read-through of the New Testament, and today we are in Ephesians 4. Paul has just laid out these beautiful doctrinal sections of the letter in chapters 1 through 3. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he emphasizes his great hope for the church. Those hopes are unity and holiness. And so that little bit of an introduction of where the rest of the letter takes us, let's look at chapter 4. We read, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit in the peace and the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here, Paul lays out this beautiful reality of the unity that the church has in Christ, and the fact that multiple ministries have been given by the Spirit to build up one body, to enable that unity, to cause it to withstand distractions and temptations. However, the united church must learn holiness by discovering what it means to have put off the old human nature and put on the new. Old pagan ways are dehumanizing and to be shunned. Renewal must start in the mind and issue in a new style of life. Work, speech, and communal living will all change in and through the transformation that has come not only individually as believers, but corporately in the body of the Christ, because both the individual and the corporate body are the temple of God. The Spirit dwells in all of them, the same Spirit given by the same Christ through the same salvation. One body united for the purpose of living wholly separate lives for Christ Jesus, to make much of Him through the manifestation of His glory through their word and deed. Some just amazing chapter here. So many incredible things which could be said as we look through it, and all of the realities that have come within it. The fact that we are united of the Spirit in a bond of peace. The fact that the Lord has all led us as once those who were once captive have all been led by the Lord to glory. And because He has led us and taken us out of where we once were, He has given us all gifts for the work of the ministry. I want to spend the rest of the time talking a little bit about the gifts and ministries of the church as laid out here by Paul, which serve to build up the church, to protect the church, and to cause the church to live for God, to maintain its holiness, its set apartness from the world around it, that it is to engage the world, not imitate the world. The New Testament depicts two broad types of ministry within local churches, and while all Christians fulfill informal ministering roles, some held formal and official ministerial offices. Paul addressed the official ministers as overseers or elders and deacons. Now, these elders bore the primary responsibility for ruling and teaching the church, and the deacons were the ones really charged with ministering to more of the material needs of the believers. But it's clear, however, especially here from Ephesians 4, that these officers who oversaw the local churches were not to restrict informal ministries, but rather facilitate them, to equip the saints, the entirety of the saints, for the work of ministry. Those who minister informally should not be defiant or disruptive. They should follow their elders. They should submit to their authority within the church, just as Hebrews 13 and 1 Corinthians 14 just talks about. The body of Christ grows to maturity in faith and love as each part of the body is working in its proper order. And so we can't have one arm growing or strengthening and being really mature while the legs are still weak and feeble, right? The whole body is brought into maturity as the whole body is actively serving in the capacities by which God has designed and empowered them to work in according to the gifts they've received. The word gift appears in connection with the spiritual services only in Ephesians 4. And Paul explains the phrase that He has gave gifts to men as the ascended Christ gave to His church persons called to and equipped for the ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And He gave the church those things that might bring them to maturity so that they can live out the calling on their lives and utilize the gifts that they have been equipped with. Amid many debated questions regarding spiritual gifts in the New Testament, there are three certainties that stand out. First, a spiritual gift is any ability to express, celebrate, display, and so communicate Christ in a way that builds up and strengthens the faith of other Christians and enlarges the church. Second, spiritual gifts may be broadly classified as either abilities of speech or of loving practical helpfulness. In Romans 12, 6-8, Paul lists of gifts alternates between the categories of prophecy, teaching, and exhorting. These are gifts of speech, and serving, giving, leading, and showing mercy, which are gifts of helpfulness. However, as much as they differ as forms of human activity, all of them, all gifts, are of equal dignity when they are properly used for the glory of God. Third, no Christian is without some gift of ministry. I want you to know that today. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have a gift to use for an informal ministry of one way or another. You have been given talents and gifts designed to serve the Lord, to not hide your talents, but to use them that He might multiply them and manifest a great harvest through them. It may be gifts of service. It may be gifts of teaching. Whatever it is, pursue it. Go after it. It is every believer's responsibility to find, develop, and fully use whatever capacities for service that God has given for the sake of maintaining unity in the church, for equipping the church to greater holiness and greater living for the Lord, and to manifest the glory of Christ and to proclaim His salvation alone to all the world around you. Whatever sphere of influence you've been given, whether you may think it is small or big. Nevertheless, God has given you that sphere of influence to make much of His Son through word and deed by exercising the gifts given to you according to His will. So whatever it is that God's called you to do, get to doing it for His glory, for the sake that He might bring others to salvation in Jesus Christ. God bless.